But let's pray right now. Open our heart to God's word. Father, we just thank you for this time we have together in your presence. And Lord, that you hear us when we pray. Lord, and we do lift up those who are sick tonight, those who are struggling. Oh, Father, not only those that are sick in body, but those that are sick in soul. Lord, that you would bring peace, that you would bring joy. Oh, Father, strengthen the inner man. Father, we just pray that your people be encouraged tonight. And Father, we pray that you would draw us closer to you tonight. As we seek to draw near you, you have promised that you will draw near to us. And so, Father, I pray that tonight, through your word and by your spirit, that you do a work in our lives and be glorified in our lives. I ask these things all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we need to refocus on what's really important. You know, having goals has become rather trendy and popular in recent years, and especially among Christians. And you know, goals are a good thing to have. But sometime in the midst of all of our goals, we can forget the most important goals. And so I'm just going to kind of zero in tonight on something that ought to be a goal for every one of us. What is the real goal of the Christian life? The goal of the Christian life isn't just to avoid hell and make heaven. And neither is it just for us to accomplish great achievements in life. The real goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. We want to be more like him. You know, that's a tall order. And most of us, the longer we serve the Lord, the more we realize we've got a long ways to go. But it still ought to be our goal that day by day we want to be more like him. Jesus said in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Perfectly trained. Well, I'm not there. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's what we want, that Jesus truly is living in us, not us just living ourselves, but Jesus living in us. He also said to the Galatians in Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I just want you to see in the scripture that this is something that's supposed to be happening in our life, that we are day by day becoming more Christ-like. David said in Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. The man after God's own heart. And he said, I'll be satisfied. There's a lot of things in this world you can try to satisfy with. But David had a hold of something much deeper. He said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Most of us who are here tonight, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to walk in love the way he did. We want to be unselfish. We want to learn to help people. We want Christ to live in us. Now, a few years ago, there was a phrase that became very popular. All of you will recognize it. What would Jesus do? I mean, it was on bumper stickers and bracelets and just plastered everywhere. You know, they even used the acronym, they abbreviated it, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm sure that that movement started with good intentions, but it almost, over time, as it became so popular, it almost seemed to lose its original impact, because there were, you know, it got to where people, it was kind of like people that don't really even know the Lord wearing a cross, you know. It's kind of, people didn't really know the Lord wearing WWJD stuff because it was trendy. But, you know, the original phrase came from a book called In His Steps, and the full title was In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? And really, what a wonderful concept it is for us to learn to just consider. You see, it's a question, and we have to ask ourselves sometime. In fact, we might should be asking ourselves a whole lot. We have to think about it. What would Jesus do in this situation? It'll change your behavior if you start thinking that way. What would Jesus do? I mean, when your boss is giving you a hard time, when your teenager is heading the wrong direction, and you really want to let them have it, what would Jesus do? But instead of just reacting to life the way most people would, if we just paused and thought, what would Jesus do? If we don't learn to think more like Jesus, we won't ever act more like Jesus, and we won't ever be more like Jesus. Proverbs tells us, 23:7, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way you really are is the way you think in your heart. You know, it's actually talking about one man trying to deceive another, but it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And you know, that's a truth that carries over into everything in life. The way we think in our heart, that's the way we really are. And if we really want to be like Jesus, I tell you, we're going to have to learn to think in our heart more like Jesus. If we really want to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to learn to think like Jesus. Jesus did not come to teach a new religion, but did he ever teach? In fact, that's what Jesus did the most. If you go by what's recorded in the Gospels, this is the part of Jesus' ministry that he did the most. All of the great things, all of the miracles, and all that other stuff, I'm just telling you, this is what he did all the time. He taught. Most people don't realize it, but if you go by what's recorded in Scripture, he did this more than anything else. John 13:13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." And all through his ministry, everywhere he went, he taught. I just want to run through the Gospels real quickly with you. In fact, well, let's just go through Mark's Gospel. Mark 1:21, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Mark 2:13, and he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. Mark 6:6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Mark 9:31, for he taught his disciples and said to them. Mark 10:1, then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and the multitudes gathered to him and again, and as he was accustomed, something he did all the time, as he was accustomed, he taught them again. Mark 11:17, then he taught, saying to them. Mark 12:35, then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple. Are you getting the idea here? I mean, this is just in the Gospel of Mark that virtually every chapter talks about him teaching. How often did Jesus teach? I'm glad you asked. He tells us himself how often he taught. When they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Mark 14:49, he says, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me." Daily. "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me." Just in case you missed that, let me read it from the NIV. "Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts." Every day he was teaching. Why is Jesus always teaching? Why did he teach so much? Why was he constantly teaching? Because he's changing their minds. He wasn't just teaching about a new religion. He was teaching about a way of life. And I'm telling you, if you're really going to change your way of life, you're going to have to change the way you think. A lot of people would like to change their life. They just want to get zapped or something, you know. But I'm telling you that real change is going to involve our minds. And if we want to become more and more like Jesus, then we need to think more and more like Jesus. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, the great teachers had students called disciples. A disciple is a student who learns a way of life from another. And I read this earlier, Luke 6:40, that a disciple who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So that's the goal of a disciple, is to be like his teacher. And that's what we want. And so we have to learn. You know, this is not that popular of a concept in the religious culture in America today, but we need to learn. We need to be always learning and always growing, learning from Jesus, the teacher. Listen to Matthew's account in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. 1 and 2, it says, "And seeing the multitudes," this is how it starts the Sermon on the Mount, "he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." Jesus didn't teach people to fill their minds with religious knowledge. I want you to hear me now. We're not talking about that you need to go to seminary. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that you need to learn a bunch of theological terms and stuff. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus didn't teach people to fill their minds with religious thoughts. He taught people to change their life. He taught people because the things that he taught were life-changing. They still are. They still are. And if we learn from Jesus, I'm telling you, it'll absolutely change us. It'll make us more like Jesus. In fact, we got to change the way we think if we're going to really be transformed. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." See, when we become a new creation in Christ, when we're born again, our spirit is born of God. But most of us, when we got born again, we still have the same body. I mean, if you were 40 pounds overweight when you got saved, the next day you were probably still 40 pounds overweight, right? And that maybe God will help you change that. But I'm just saying, we didn't get a new body yet. One of these days, we're going to get a new body, but that time is not yet. Our spirit's born again. We got a spirit born of God. But the body, we still have that old body. At least we start off that way. But let me tell you something else, though. God doesn't open up your brain, your skull, and take out your brain and give you a brand new clean one. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, you know, if we were God, that's the way we would do it, right? But I'm telling you, the Lord knows what he's doing, and And he says that you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we have to renew our minds with the Word of God, with the teaching of Jesus, with the things of God. We can't live in the fullness of all that God has for us and think the same old way. No, got to change the way we think. Be transformed. Don't be like the world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to be spiritually minded. Can we really learn to think like Jesus? You know what? You can know the Bible and still think wrong. There's a lot of people that know the Bible, or at least know parts of it. I found usually the people that are religious and, you know, they're all messed up, they only know parts. They don't study the whole thing. But even if they do study the whole thing, I'm telling you, you can know the Bible and still not be changed by it and still not be Christ-like. Because you can study the Bible with a carnal religious mind and not let it truly change you. We have to be spiritually minded, where it changes the way we think, not just about acquiring religious knowledge, listen, but where we change the way we think about how we live and how we do life. And here, listen, how we treat people. See, Paul warns us about people who just acquire head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. 2 Timothy 3:7, he says, they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You ever known somebody like that, that they were real smart and had lots of book learning, but somehow they just seemed to miss what was really important? You see, we got to have that heart that's hungry for God and that truly wants to be like Jesus, not just trying to be religious, but be like Jesus. How wonderful it must have been for the disciples to be taught by Jesus every day. How wonderful it must have been for Mary, who sat at his feet and heard his word. But you know, we need to realize that we haven't been left to do without. No, we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, he says, it's better for you if I go away, because the one who is with you will be in you. You need to remember that when the Holy Spirit's with you, Jesus is with you. The one who was with them, he said, he will be in you. I want to read John 14 and 26. It says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit, he is able to teach us. Just like Jesus taught the disciples, the Holy Spirit is able to teach us. And he's able to not only bring to their remembrance what Jesus taught. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit can bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus taught? And so I just want you to realize we're not doing without. We have the Holy Spirit who's always with us to teach us and to help us understand if we're willing. And he knows everything. There isn't anything that he can't teach you. He can teach you how to be more like Jesus. He can teach you how to be a good husband. He can teach you how to handle your finances right. He can teach you how to minister to your children. He can do that. Listen, the Holy Spirit can teach you anything, whatever you need to know. He's able to give us understanding about spiritual things, listen, that the natural mind just can't get. You know, the world says, y'all don't jump on board here now, I'm telling you, don't. The world says you can't fix stupid. But that's not what the Bible says. Because the Bible says that, listen, that his word makes wise the simple. So I'm just saying, if you've been called stupid, there's hope for you. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can teach anybody, and you can have a whole lot of letters after your name and a high IQ and be stupid. But the Holy Spirit is able to give you wisdom and spiritual insight, things that a carnal mind just can't grab a hold of. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this. He says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." The Holy Spirit teaches these things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, our teacher, the Holy Spirit, is available to teach us so that we can have the mind of Christ. Now, in this passage, he's saying that there is a carnal mind, the natural way of thinking, and then there is also a spiritual mind where the Holy Spirit influences our mind and teaches us and shows us what is right. I want to say this very clearly. The mind of Christ, he says, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not automatic to the believer. I'm going to say it again. God does not open up your skull and put in the mind of Christ. All fixed, all good. How many of you can testify that maybe you haven't always had the mind of Christ as a Christian? Maybe sometimes today you did not have the mind of Christ. So I'm just saying, the mind of Christ is not just something that's automatic. It is something that we can have the mind of Christ as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us, to reveal to us. In the very next verse, see, he says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, here's the contrast. In the very next verse, he says, you, talking to the Corinthians, are carnal and unspiritual. He says, because there's strife and division among you. One says, I'm of Cephas, and another says, I'm of Apollos. He says, is Christ divided? I'm telling you, they did not have the mind of Christ. They were unspiritual and carnal. And so I just want you to see that we can have the mind of Christ, but we have to want that. We have to choose that. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us into truth. And if we will, he will help us. We can learn how Jesus thinks. But we have to choose to think that way. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this part. He says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we don't allow our minds to just run wherever. We don't allow ourselves to entertain thoughts that we know are not pleasing to Christ. But instead, we take those thoughts captive. We get our thoughts lined up with Jesus. Make your thoughts obedient to Christ, he says. I know that's not easy, but we got to decide that we want to have that mind of Christ. And when a thought comes in our head and we're thinking, what would Jesus do? And we know that thought is not something that Jesus would think, we kick it out. When Jesus forgave the sins of a paralytic man, the teachers of the law began to judge and to criticize. There's still a lot of religious people who spend way too much of their time, but listen, also their thoughts, judging other people. And the reason they're so mean and nasty and ugly is because they don't think like Jesus. Jesus didn't think like that. In Matthew 9:4, it says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking. He said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" These religious people are being judgmental and critical. And Jesus says, "Why are you entertaining evil thoughts in your heart?" And I always like to put it this way. Listen, we all have evil thoughts show up at our door. I mean, you live in an evil world. You're going to have plenty of opportunity through sight and sound to have evil thoughts. And even when you don't have sight and sound that give you evil thoughts, well, you know what? Sometimes we can come up with them all by our lonesome, right? But here's the thing. You don't have to throw open the door and entertain them. Shut the door and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to think like Jesus. And Jesus isn't judgmental and mean-spirited, but he's kind and he's compassionate. He loves people. You say, well, how can we know what Jesus thought? Because we know what he taught. That's pretty simple. You want to know what Jesus thought? Well, look at what he taught, because I'm telling you, the things that he taught, he had the thought. That's right. He thought those things. And I'm just telling you, the more that we learn to think the way that Jesus did, the more that we'll end up acting like Jesus and being like Jesus. You know, we know many times, not only by his teaching, but we know by his actions what he thought. We spend so much time sometimes thinking about ourselves, but did you know Jesus mainly thought about others? In fact, what he thinks about himself is about others. He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, so much of being more like Jesus in this world has to do with how we treat people. How you relate to people. Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Jesus sees all these people and he says they're like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. And I'll tell you, religious, mean-spirited religious people, they see all the people in our world who aren't doing right. Their lives are messed up. And they judge them and they say things like, well, they got what they deserve. Did you know Jesus never said such things? He was moved with compassion for them. I remember a time back in the 80s when I was youth pastor and I just got kind of burnt out and I got so tired of dealing with troublemakers and rebels and little smart aleck snots. Carmen and I went to a conference. It just was a God thing, and one of the speakers had been a youth pastor for a long, long time. He talked about this very passage, and he talked about how those rebels with all their weird hair and piercings and everything and all that attitude. And he said, they're just sheep without a shepherd. And God changed my heart. I began to see them totally different. He gave me a fresh love, just renewed my passion for ministering to teenagers. And you know, the point I'm trying to make here is that it's amazing how that when we start thinking right, it changes how we treat people. See, just seeing it different, seeing it the way Jesus saw them. Sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. And you see, in our lives, it's the same way. If we'll just begin to think like Jesus would, it'll change the way we treat people. He says, don't judge. Do not judge. I'm going to tell you, we all have the opportunity to judge. And whether we say it out of our mouth or we show it in our actions, you don't want that stuff in your heart. You don't want to waste your time thinking about such things. You're not the judge, so leave that to God Himself. But when Jesus went to the cross, what could He possibly have been thinking? I think He was thinking about you and me. He taught love and He thought love. John 15:13, greater love is no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And He did. Love is one of those things that a lot of people talk about. But so often it's not, you know, they talk about it in theory and think about it maybe in theory. But we need to think about it and talk about it in a way that we live out in our life. Not just something, you know, in theory, but how are we going to love people? How are we going to show people that we love them? Make it something that we actually put into practice in our life. As Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus must have thought a lot about forgiveness because he talked about it and he taught it all the time. So much of Jesus' teaching was the reverse of the attitudes of the culture around us. You know, the world says, if you want to be the leader, well, you need to stand up and assert yourself and take charge. And I see that even in the body of Christ today. It's wrong, 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 wrong. Jesus said, the one that should be the leader should be the servant of all. Now, I want to say, I'm thankful that I haven't had to clean the church toilets in a while. But I'm a little suspicious of a pastor who's never cleaned the church toilets. I'm just saying. Jesus washed their feet and he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have done this, you should also to one another. And I'm just telling you, Jesus' teaching, his thoughts about how to be a leader were so different from the world, to be the servant of all. Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The God of the universe came as a man and served. Luke 2:5-7. Oh, I got to get this one. Luke 2:5-7. I'm going to wait. I appreciate Brother Josh back there. He's filling in for us tonight. It's coming. Hallelujah. I gave you the wrong one. How about Philippians? I'm sorry. No wonder it took so long. There we go. Help my mind, Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wow. Here's that mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And it goes on and talks about how he was obedient unto death. And then we know that God gave him a name that's above every name. But listen, this was the mind that was in Christ Jesus, that even though he was God, he became a servant. He humbled himself. No matter how high we might think we are, oh, we need to have this mind, that we humble ourselves and we serve. The world says, get all you can. And you know what? They'll even fight their relatives for a bigger slice of the inheritance. Don't hate me now. My dad was an attorney for many, many, many years. And I just know how some people love to hate on attorneys. But you know what? We have some attorneys in our church, and I thank God for them. Some attorneys love Jesus. Don't hate on all attorneys now, I'm just saying. But my dad was an attorney for many years, and I remember when I was a little boy, and he told me some of the most bitter, terrible cases he ever had were when relatives were fighting over the inheritance. They wanted to kill each other over money. And Jesus teaches us to think this way. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm telling you, if you start thinking like Jesus, it'll set you free. It'll truly change you. The world says you have to chase after stuff or you won't ever have enough. And Jesus says, fear not, your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask. Just one more. Jesus always thinks faith. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. One thing Jesus never thought, that's too hard. It's too late. That's impossible. Now, when the world says it's too late, it's over, Jesus says, only believe. If you really want to be more like Jesus, think more like Jesus. I'm telling you, you can have the mind of Christ. If we learn from Jesus, remember Matthew 11, 29, he says, learn from me. If you learn from Jesus, if you listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into truth and teach you what you need to know. If you'll take control of your thoughts and make them obedient to Christ, I tell you, we can have the mind of Christ and be like Jesus in this world. We'll be like the Apostle Paul. I hadn't arrived yet. Haven't already attained, but I'm going to keep pressing forward towards that goal. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray, Father, that truly you help us day by day to press on toward that goal and to be more like him. Lord, help us especially in those days when we feel like we fall so far short. Help us to get up again and keep learning and growing. And reaching out to a hurting world. And again, Father, may you be glorified in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord bless you.